B3. Number 15A.
We stopped yesterday with the Christ horizontal, and so we go on and take the Christianity horizontal in the matrix. The epitome I think we can give to that is exalting consciousness, exalting consciousness. You know that Christianity always has to do with lifting ourselves above the mortal, lifting ourselves into the realm of idea. So in the relative, this is always a sense of improvement, of a better state of things, of an exalted state of things. And here in healing, we could see when we read horizontally through our epitomes, then we see in prayer, in marriage, that she has said there that healing is achieved through spiritual ascendancy. So here you have an exalted state of consciousness where one begins to try to always do the better than of two possibilities, always to choose, so to say, the higher, and that by using always the best within us, we really culture the ability and the power of healing. So there is a sense of exaltation. When we come to physiology, again, we get that sense, an active sense. We had as an epitome there that there is no other healing power but the truth power, with the conclusion that healing takes place when when the human mind yields to the divine mind. That's, I think, the epitome we have been given there. You can see again it is an exalted sense saying that when we are willing to let mortal mind go, and when we are willing to see that always the divine mind is the all power and that God can do all things in sickness and in health, then we rise above our beliefs in the human mind and yield to the higher sense, to divine mind. So can you see how here again the ascendancy is shown, the exaltation is shown, as the exaltation in consciousness is shown. Then the next chapter, objections answered, there again we had it very clearly brought out, because we said it is elevating a theoretical to a practical Christianity. Actually, Mrs. Eddy uses that very term here, elevating. It's again a rising in consciousness, so that by putting on our Christ-likeness, we can heal. Again, an elevating sense, putting on, instead of the mortal, the non-Christian qualities we had there, putting on the Christian qualities, we exalt our state of consciousness, and every time we exalt our state of consciousness, this gives more power to heal. Therefore, she said there that the non-Christians cannot heal, the Orthodox Christians cannot heal, the clergymen cannot heal, because they have not an exalted consciousness and do not try to put on the Christ-likeness. Then again we come to the chapter Genesis, where we have seen that in God sickness is nothing, has no record. And we feel here, oh well, then we are right above everything. Then we are right above the question of healing. There we are absolutely out of everything, and therefore are no more involved in a record of sickness, and therefore no more involved in the question how to heal sickness. That chapter Genesis is a that high altitude where God says, I don't know sickness. I have no knowledge of sickness. Nothing thou art, and unto nothing shalt thou return. So can you feel here how healing is depicted as a method of exalting consciousness always higher and higher? That's the Christianity horizontal. Then we come to the last, science. Every time we come to science in these matrices on the textbook, they always have a tone of understanding, of scientific understanding. It's not so much spiritual understanding, but scientific understanding that is brought out in the science horizontal. If you were to more matrices on the textbook, you would see that this repeats itself over and over, no matter which kind of matrix we make, that somehow the index J remains always the same. This is one of the interesting discovery we made, that no matter if we made out of the textbook, say, a mind matrix, or a law matrix, or an evil matrix, or a healing matrix, whatever we try to do, the index J always remained more or less the same, whereas naturally the index I changed according to the subject. This was quite a surprise, because one was thinking that if one would investigate always another subject in the textbook, that the index I and J would change. But actually they don't. Actually, I shouldn't have said so, because it takes away the joy from finding it out oneself. But that was a surprise. You see, for instance, when we have done in the seminar in Zurich, we have used about a year and a half just to make a mind matrix, take the synonymous term mind, and go through all the references on mind in the textbook, but not in the conceptual sense, not asking what means the term mind, not what we are doing tonight in this class, but with the sense, what is the operative sense of mind, what is the functional sense of mind? Quite a different question we put there. And that is the question we have to ask if we want to see a matrix of a synonymous term in the textbook. So we made a matrix on mind, and then naturally we proceeded the same way as here. We filled in the 16 boxes. Then we asked what is the epitome for the verticals, and could see that each vertical would say something very definite and fundamental about the operational sense of mind. So we could always somehow define it through the term mind. But when we asked what is the index J, the horizontals, they never said anything about mind. They always said something about the four sides of the city, and they were practically always the same as what we have here, that the word practically is always a proposition, that the Christ always seems to be the manifestation in spite of the flesh, that Christianity always seems to be an improved, exalted sense, and that science in the horizontal always seems to be a sense of scientifically understanding the subject, therefore of scientific understanding. So no matter if we did a matrix on mind or on spirit or on soul, no matter if we did a matrix on law or on understanding or on evil or on healing, more or less that index J always was the same thing. That's quite interesting. All right, here too we feel that in this science horizontal, the common denominator seems to be scientific understanding. And how is it brought out here in the chapter on Christian Science versus Spiritualism? There you get the first sense of scientific understanding for healing, namely mind reading, divine mind reading. See, divine mind reading is understanding from the point of view of mind what is the right idea. So it is scientific understanding from the point of view of mind reading. Then in the next chapter, chapter 8, Footsteps of Truth, that scientific understanding shows itself as metaphysical understanding. We add there the epitome that metaphysics heals and matter cannot heal. It is exchanging there the belief that matter heals for what? For metaphysical healing. That metaphysics, not matter, can heal. Well, metaphysics is naturally understanding that which is above physics and gives us a higher consciousness than just accepting a material state of things. And there again we see that in the footsteps of truth we must know the truth, and that truth is metaphysical and not physical. When it comes to Christianity and to the 12th chapter on Christian Science practice, then naturally we know very clearly that practice is actually the scientific understanding of ideas, and here it is the realization, that's the number 4, Roman 4, the realization that there is no disease. It's again a scientific realization. That realization actually in the text then shows that it is a scientific realization, understanding the science of mind instead of using arguments that are necessary, and gives us a sense that only through a scientific understanding of idea we can really realize that there is no disease, that there is no death. So again, showing healing takes place where? In understanding. That's what brought out on that science horizontal, that she asked, where does healing take place? Does it take place in the body? Does it take place somewhere in a situation? And her answer is, it's always a matter of understanding, of scientific understanding. There healing takes place. And finally, we have seen in the chapter on the Apocalypse that scientificalness of science heals, bringing out that therefore the pinnacle would be to see the scientific nature of science, not just understanding science but also investigating what is the scientific nature of this science, the prism of science, therefore see science in all its classification and categories, and that heals. Gives a terrific high climatical sense that only the scientific understanding of science really heals. So you had on that bottom level really the scientific understanding as what? What heals in understanding? First of all, mind reading. Mind understanding heals. That mind understanding in Footsteps of Truth is a metaphysical understanding. In the practice, it is the realization of this mind reading and making practical use of that mind reading. And in that mind reading, you can see that there is no disease. Therefore, the last demand is, therefore, investigate the science of science. Investigate the scientific quality of science. Then you have your true medicine with which you can handle all the problems, all that sum total of human misery as is presented in the chapter on Apocalypse. Then you can handle all those problems. Yes, so in this way we would see that what we have tried to bring out and distill out of the text actually seems to obey the order of a matrix. They can be classified according to verticals and according to horizontals, whereby the verticals give us the absolute higher tone of a situation, and the horizontal give us a sense how in the human we can make use of that absolute sense and bring it into actual practice. You can see that the horizontals have a rather relative sense. It is something that is asked of us what to do, namely, first the proposition that you accept as your basis, the proposition of the index I, the absolute sense. You accept the absolute sense here as your basis, as our basis from which we go out. Then we see that in the Christ, that this accepting of this basis has within itself the demand of the Christ to lay down the mortal sense of things. And in Christianity it shows also that relative sense, that it says you have to see that you rise above the material. See, it was constant appeal to rise above, in that the good has ascendancy over evil, that through spiritual ascendancy we can heal, that in the chapter on physiology that we exchange, so to say, our belief in disease for the truth of being, that in objections answered we take on the new Christ garment, the Christ likeness, and free ourselves from the non-Christian qualities of stagnation, of ritual, of dogma, and so on, so that finally in Genesis we begin to see that actually we can rise above the whole question of disease and say, after all, if we look out from God, God has no record of disease. Can you see? It's all an ascending sense that we accept. And then finally, again, in the last horizontal, it's a human touch there, namely, we have to understand the science of it. It's asking us to take the standpoint of understanding instead of belief and the material standpoint. Yeah. So, it seems that even if we have to make some polishing in the epitomes and going over it again and again, naturally we always can polish these things, that we can already see now with this first attempt that there is a whole matrix sense on the question of healing. What does that mean, that we get a matrix answer instead of a statement answer? This is now the question why we have done this whole work. We can now ask, so what? So what? Well, what did we have before? We could see that there is a matrix answer. Whenever in Christian Science and in any other science, usually one is asking a question and say, what is the answer? One is expecting in the old paradigm, one is expecting a statement answer, an answer that in a statement defines the answer. The moment we begin to see that being is structured, we begin to realize, and this is the new paradigm that has been brought forth more and more over the last few years, that an answer should never be an atomistic answer, because an atomistic answer is too limited. That a full answer somehow should be a structured answer. A structured answer. And therefore we find this an answer to that old question where every intelligent investigator of the textbook always was feeling, why doesn't Mrs. Eddy define her terms? because in any other science and in every other textbook, the author of a textbook has to define his terms. If he writes a textbook on economy, he has to define what do I mean with inflation, what do I mean with the standard of living. He has to define what do I mean with this and that and the other. And then he has to use all through his textbook the same concept of that term. And therefore, when one approaches the textbook with that normal science attitude, one is naturally asking also the textbook, where does Mrs. Eddy define her terms? And one gets quite irritated to see that she never does. Actually, one gets so irritated because one feels that she gives paradoxical answers, contradictory answers, and that for the old logical reasoning, it seems that Mrs. Eddy is illogical. And this is only until one realizes that she never could and wanted to give a atomistic answer because it's limited. So she always gave a structured answer. A structured answer, which means that her answer would always be an answer which would throw light on that question, at least from those 16 standpoints. And that only in such a way it is possible to give some kind of satisfactory answer. Therefore, she has never really defined what she means with mind or with spirit or with soul or principle, life, truth and love. She has never defined really what does she mean with sin or with mortal mind or with matter. It's all over the place from the first page to the last page. And but today we have a better method to find her answer by asking every statement in the textbook what is said on this subject and put it into a matrix form so as to find a comprehensive answer. Therefore, you see, something that is very different in this textbook compared with an ordinary textbook, with a textbook of normal science, that she does the very opposite what normal science does, that she defines her terms always differently in every chapter. In other words, that she has an evolutive sense of a term. A term is not fixed and finished and dead and that's that. It's a term that evolves from one chapter to the next chapter, and evolves to the next chapter, and appears always in another form in the next chapter. It is like a chameleon. It changes and changes and changes, and yet it's always the same chameleon, but its color changes. And that's the new way of giving a structured, evolutive, creative answer. And you can see how difficult it is for the normal scientist who has been trained in normal science really to awake to the fact that Mrs. Eddy does not want to give a normal science answer, but that she is an extraordinary scientist, namely that she gives an answer on the new paradigm of structure. And structure is being represented always in a matrix. A matrix is nothing that exists in being. It's a mode of representing, of symbolizing structure. So here we find, therefore, that answer very nicely, where we see that the question of healing is dealt with always differently from chapter to chapter. Now, if we have this matrix, it means that we can constantly reduce and reduce an infinite theme. That's the method of science. Here we have reduced 600 pages to one page. We have reduced the meaning of one chapter to one epitome in each chapter. Then we have further reduced it to four verticals and four horizontals, so that we have a more foundational sense of the subject. And then, you know, in a 4x4 matrix, we also can reduce even that further. The diagonal gives us an even simpler and more foundational answer. Now, what is this diagonal here? We know the diagonal is always in a square matrix when you read the boxes from the top left down to the bottom right. Then you get the piece of the whole matrix, so the 16 answers are reduced to 4 answers. And what do we get here? We would have in the first box, prayer. How should we heal? The great question, how should we heal? The answer, not through belief, not through faith, but through spiritual consciousness. Then we come to chapter 6 in the diagonal, which says, and Christian Science presents you that principle of healing, of spiritual healing. Namely, it presents the principle of spiritual healing as the truth that heals through mind. So we find here a very concise answer how to heal and what heals. Truth heals through mind. We come to the next box in the diagonal, to chapter 11, which says, and you know, you can heal, and everybody can heal, everybody can learn that principle, but he must put off on the Christian spirit, the Christ likeness. Else, he is just, it's just a dogma, it's just another ritual, it's just dead, it's just a letter, it is still theoretical. Here in this chapter, theoretical Christianity is lifted up to practical Christianity. See, in the 6th chapter, she has presented, it's a theory that she presented there of healing, the principle of healing, which is truth, healing through mind. But now, in order to do that, to heal, to have that healing power, in the 11th chapter, she says, now put on your Christ likeness, and then the principle of healing is within you. If you go further along the diagonal and you come to Apocalypse, the last one, Signs of Signs, it shows, and you know, actually healing takes place in consciousness, in understanding. What kind of understanding? In understanding the scientificalness of science, the prism. So it started out by saying, heal through spiritual understanding, but that was only a proposition, you see. But in the last chapter, she shows that an understanding of the science of science is really getting hold of that spiritual understanding.